In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was made flesh and became the Word alive. Today, His words are being shared by the radio ministry of Clinton and Sarah Utterbach, sponsored by the Redeeming Love Christian Center of Nanuet, New York. Join Clinton and Sarah Utterbach now on Listen to Jesus.
Listen to Jesus. Say what Jesus said. Keep looking at Jesus. And do what Jesus did, and it will turn your life around. And you will turn this world around.
Hello out there. I'm Clinton Utterbach.
I'm Sarah Utterbach.
And we are thinking, as we are opening this broadcast, I believe yesterday I said that the conduct in God's house was not just conduct in the building that the church is housed in, but it's conduct in the body of Christ, and that this was a universal thought, and that people need to really look into the scriptures to see what God thinks about how we should behave, not only in the body of Christ, but also in the house of God where we assemble. There's certain conduct, there's certain
things,
and there's certain expectations that God has of His people. People, and we are not to be like the world.
You had some comments on women, so I don't want to move.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, first of all, I'm going to look at it in the New International Translation. When it says there, in the same way their wives are to be women worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything, that meant that everything else, they just like the deacons had to be worthy of respect, they had to be sincere, not indulging in much wine, not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then if there's nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In all of those things, the wives also must be worthy of respect. The wives must be sincere, not indulging in much wine, not pursuing dishonest gain. The wives must also keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. The wives must also first be tested before they are allowed to serve, and not because their husbands happen to be a deacon. The wives have to be proven also. And then if there's nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. So in everything, the wives have to do this, including abstaining from being malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. Well, remember, we're going back now again to the culture and the time and the fact that the Greeks, the Romans, and the Jews were suddenly all coming together in this new thing they call the church. And this could have been written about the wives of the deacons only, but based on scripture, as the ones Pastor Clinton shared, we believe that it's talking about all women serving in the church. These guidelines, these expectations are for all women serving in the church, because some of the servers in the church were not married. And so we can't just hold it to a deaconess. Should never be a deaconess just because she's married to a deacon. She should be qualified based on these scriptures. Are you listening to me? There are single women that are deaconesses, and there's nothing wrong with them being deaconesses if they meet these same qualifications that the deacons met. We happen to here in this church have not yet selected deacons or deaconess apart from their companions, because the marriage and home was so fragmented when we got started that because we were united in serving, our tendency and habit has been to select people who were married, but that's not the Holy Ghost does not limit that. We have limited it, and it may be time to lift that restriction. Because if a person qualifies for the office, it doesn't mean that they have to get married to somebody to serve in that office. So I wanted to clear that up right now. So they could have been wives of deacons, but they could have also been women in service in the church as the deacons. They were workers of charity and women who did acts of kindness and women that helped in areas that only women could properly help one another. For instance, when they had water baptism. Remember, we learned before, but sometimes the men didn't even speak to each other. Husbands and wives didn't speak to each other in the street. So now, if they didn't speak to each other in the street, how in the world are the men going to baptize them? So it's a very strong possibility. I don't have chapter and verse for it, but there's a very strong possibility that the baptism for the women, until they became a little more liberated and a little more free, may have been by women. Okay, I don't see any opposition to it. And so there are times that only women, for instance, when the women come up out of the pool here at RLCC, we have the female elders and the female deacons here to be the ones to assist them. After all, they're soaking wet, their clothes, whatever they got baptized in, is clinging to them. And, you know, even though they may have on proper attire under it, garments under it, it's still just much more conducive for a woman to be there to give the woman a towel, and the same thing with the men. So that's the way we've chosen to do it. And I strongly suspect that in the early church that the women may have baptized the women, okay? I know that they instructed female converts. And at baptism, as I said, since it was total immersion, it wasn't sprinkled, hosed down, and dipped. Dabbed. You went down under the water. Well, whatever you went down in that water and you came up in, it was clinging to you. And so we know that they instructed them. The Bible doesn't say that the baptism was limited to just men. They were also required to warn against slanderous gossip. This is the converts, and they were bidden to be completely reliable. They were not allowed to participate in gossip, and they instructed the new converts not to be involved. Well, why is it that the women are always classified or considered the gossipers, when all of us know that we've run into some men that gossip as much as women, okay? But let's go back again to the era that we were in. During that time, who was it of the marriage that went out into the world or places to work? The men. Where were the women? Home or in their general neighborhood, community kind of thing, okay? And so because of the limited exposure, it's very possible that the opportunities for gossip may have been more readily available than for the men. That is not the case today, because we have women in the workplace and, you know, they're out there. So the tendency is not the same as it was when this was written. Do you understand? We have to go back to when it was written and who it was written about. So, and during those times, all the women had to do all day long was just kind of hang around and talk about anything. So they did. And as I was reading this and studying, the Lord reminded me something, and I went back and pulled out the dictionary or the encyclopedia. How many of you know when a doctor, young doctor, graduates, before he is permitted to practice, he takes an oath? What is that oath? The Hippocratic Oath. Do you know who it was, why it's called the Hippocratic Oath? Because they were hypocrites? No. Do you know people have thought that? No. The Hippocrates, yeah, was a Greek physician, it's my understanding, and he kind of set the example, if you will, for this oath to be, and it was basically attributed to him and incorporated as a code of ethics for physicians and administered to those about to receive a medical degree. Part of that oath is a pledge never to repeat anything that has been heard in the house of a patient or anything that he has heard about a patient, even though he or she may have heard it in the street. Well, in any ministry service, then this was just required of the physician, because at that time they were going in the homes and anything could have been discussed. And part of their oath was that they were never to repeat it. They were to act as though they never heard it. And so what happened was, in the service, in any service in the ministry, okay, you're going to be exposed to other people. There are things that you may hear, and nobody's requiring you to take an oath to say you won't repeat it. But if it's not going to edify, if it's not going to build up, if it's not going to encourage, and if it's not of a good report, what is the profit in sharing that thing, okay, about somebody? I always like to say is, if you can't say it about the person when they're present, don't say it about them in their absence, because that's when it becomes gossip. If you will repeat that thing in the presence of the person, then it's not gossip. But if you say it when they're not around, or you don't want it repeated that you said it, then you're over into gossip. So we ladies should never be insulted that the pastoral epistles especially forbid women to gossip. Today's women, like I said, are in the workforce just as the men are, and the tendency has lessened for women to gossip because they are no longer confined to a limited area of exposure, which always increases the danger of hearing about personal relationships or talking about personal relationships. And if you are limited to whom you talk to, and that person shares something with you in confidence, they're expecting it to stay just there, in confidence.
We feel honored that God has granted us the privilege of bringing you today's message. Our commitment to share the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ deepens daily.
Listen to Jesus is heard on 5 of the earth's 7 continents, but there is still more land to be possessed for the kingdom of God. In Matthew 28:19, Jesus gave the directive to go into all the world and make disciples of men. We were motivated to do just that through the Listen to Jesus broadcasts.
If you're interested in a cassette copy of this week's broadcast, send in $6, making your checks and money orders payable to Redeeming Love Christian Center.
If you live in the United States, you may also use your Visa or MasterCard by calling our toll-free number at 888-490-RLCC. That's 888-490-RLCC. If you have access to the Internet, you may listen to the broadcast at any time on www.redeeminglovecc.org. That's www.redeeminglovecc.org.
And if the teaching you hear on this program is having a positive effect on your life, you have an opportunity and a spiritual responsibility to join us as co-laborers by becoming a regular contributor.
When you give, God blesses you with a financial return according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
Mail all of your correspondence and make your financial contributions payable to Redeeming Love Christian Center, Post Office Box 577, Nanuet, N-A-N-U-E-T, New York, 10954. Once again, that's Redeeming Love Christian Center, Post Office Box 577, Nanuet, N-A-N-U-E-T, New York, 10954. And remember to include the call letters of this station when you write. Until next time, this is Clinton Utterbach.
I'm Sarah Utterbach.
And we're reminding you, God is alive and well,
and His word will work for you.